It's good to see a lot of smiling faces this morning I hadn't saw in a while. It's good to have you here if you're visiting. We should go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. We'll be looking at verses 24 through 27. You know, if you were here last weekend, Pastor Roberts, I've been praying about this message for about a month and a half and just praying through what God would have me preach on and to say. And I can tell you, I was sitting back there, about right behind where Tracy's sitting, and he was just confirming everything. He almost laid this thing up on a tee for me. So I would just say, if you didn't get an opportunity to be here last weekend, you need to go on, I think it is on the website, you need to listen to all the messages that he preached. He certainly convicted me and gave me a lot of things to ponder this week as I was traveling. I've entitled this message this morning, going along the theme of what he had about being a people that God wants us to hear him and to obey him. I've entitled the message, Solid Rock or Sinking Sand? Solid rock or sinking sand. You know, when you look at the Sermon on the Mount, Christ preached this message, if you will, in the parables that he told here. And he was preaching to people who thought, there were people hearing his voice. Some did not know him and would not know him, though they thought they belonged to the kingdom of God. And so when you look and you look at this, and right before we go into the passage that we'll look at here in 24 through 27, I want your attention to go up to just the verses before that, starting in 21. I want to lay some context for you so you understand where Christ is coming from in this sermon and where he's coming from this morning to all of us. In 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. I want you to let this sink in just for a second. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to be able to go to heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many on that day will say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you workers of iniquity. Let me give you a paraphrase on this of what I believe he's saying to the church this morning as a whole. Not everyone who claims to be a Christian is a Christian. Not everyone who claims to be a Christian is going to heaven. There'll be those that'll stand before him and say, Lord, didn't I go to Sunday school? Didn't I give my money? Didn't I go to church? And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. And I want you to stand with me this morning as we read this text and we just sort of go through what God's word says to each and every one of us this morning. Beginning in verse 24, we're talking about the two builders, the wise and the foolish builders. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Would you pray with me? Father God, we ask you now just to move, Lord. Lord, move Terry out of the way and just speak whatever it is you want to be spoken. This morning, we give you glory and honor. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to look at the last five words that Christ preached here in the greatest sermon ever preached. It fell with a great crash. Jesus' final words of this magnificent sermon ends on a tragic note. This may not be the way that many preachers today would choose to conclude a sermon, but he chooses to conclude this sermon with five words that is tragic, and it fell with a great crash. If you focus and you look at the Sermon on the Mount, Christ gives, especially in the latter part of it, in chapter 7, he's always given choices, two roads to go down. In chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, he gives two different choices, the wide or the narrow gate. In 15 through 20, he wants us to discern between false prophets and true prophets. In 21 through 23, I just read, he's talking about there's false disciples and there's real or genuine disciples. And then here he gives us a choice to be either a wise builder or a foolish builder. So the simple takeaway that I want you to think through as we go through this message this morning is the genuine believer, the real follower of Jesus Christ, the authentic believer builds their lives on the Word of God. If you are an authentic believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, your life is built on Him. And so there's three things I want us to look at here. And the first thing that I want us to look at in this passage is both builders heard the same word and had the same opportunity to obey it. Both builders had the same opportunity to obey what they've heard because both of them heard it. Look with me. Therefore, everyone who hears these, if you look in verses 24 and 26, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. And then, but everyone who hears these words and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man. Christ gave over 50 commands in the Sermon on the Mount. You remember some of them. Let your light shine. Enter through the narrow gate. Watch out for false prophets. But when we're talking about houses and building our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not about location. It's about foundation. The life that lasts is built on a firm foundation. And the emphasis is on doing, but let's not miss the importance of hearing. Romans 10:14, remember Paul says, how then can they call on the one whom they do not believe in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And then in Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The power of God to change lives comes through the hearing and obedience of doing what God's word says. Your willingness to hear the word of God, I want to ask you, did you come this morning to truly hear from God? Now, before you nod your head yes, I just want to preference, the Lord's listening and knows if you really come in those doors to hear from him this morning. You have to come with a willingness to hear from God. I don't want to play on the words, but when you're in here, you come to hear. I'm reminded of the great responsibility that Pastor Rick has, as well as myself and any other guys that stand up in the pulpit, the great responsibility to preach the word. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. And it says, in season and out of season. That means when you feel like it and you don't feel like it. It also means when they want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it, preach it anyway. A.W. Pink says, no wonder there is now so much dishonesty among the pews when there has been such dishonesty in the pulpit. That's the problem with the church in general today, is the word of God means nothing. It's just another slated part. Let me get this out of the way before I fall over. It's just another slated part within a service, if it's a part of the service at all. What are people looking for when they look for a church? I just want to ask you, when any of you looking for a church, when y'all come to this church, maybe some of you are looking for a church right now. What do you look for when you look for a church? You look at the size of the building, the shape of the facilities. Is it new? Is it old? Do you look at the location? Does it meet my need? Do I got to drive a long ways or can I drive a short ways? Do you look at all the programs that the church has? See if my needs met there, or do they have anything for my group? Do you look at the music and the style of the worship and say, you know, that'll fit me. That's where I need to go. Can I just say with every bit of the compassion that I have this morning, none of those matter. None of them. If the Word of God's not being faithfully proclaimed in the pulpit. Because I'll tell you, if the Word of God is not being faithfully proclaimed in the pulpit, none of those programs, I have God in it. It'll just be another social gathering that it'll be something for your kids to do. I got a place that's called that you can take if you're for social gathering. Chuck E. Cheese. See, you'll get great music. You'll get a kids program full of activities. You might even be able to go to that new church on the block that just erected the new building. None of that changes lives. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ changes lives. You know, I looked this week. You look at what's going on in the national news. Two events this week. All that mess up in Baltimore. And then all that mess up in the U.S. Supreme Court. And we say, man, what's it going to take to change this nation? What would it take to change those folks out there rioting? Is it education? We need to educate them. We need to get them better understanding how the society acts. And then you look at Washington and you go, what would fix it? Maybe we need to get this politician. No. Can I tell you what both those situations need? The gospel. The gospel. Before you say, nah, Terry, I don't think so. If you're a believer, can I just ask you a question? What was it that changed you? If it wasn't the gospel, you're on sinking sand. The gospel, the Word of God, changes lives. But look, not just hearing it, but doing it. And before I get too far along, well, I'll say it in just a second. There's two choices here. Wise builder, as I'm looking at my watch, two choices. Wise builder builds their lives on the rock. Now here Christ refers to the wisdom, not on what they knew, or not just what they heard, but what they did with what they heard. Can I just ask you this morning, have you done anything with what you've heard? You know, the marching orders of the church Christ Jesus gave at the end of Matthew. We all know it. Therefore, go make disciples all the nations. If I took a poll this morning, how many of you could say I led a person to the Lord Jesus Christ this year? Hold up. I'll give you, early in the year. If I took a poll this morning and said, how many of us shared the gospel and brought somebody to Christ in the last 5 years? Okay, I understand, it's tough, life's busy. Have you ever brought anyone to the saving knowledge? Have you ever shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with anybody ever? If you haven't, I have to ask the question, how in the world can you not share the story that changed your life unless you really don't have the story in your life? By the way, the gospel is not just a story, it's a person. You look at John 1, it says, the Word was in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later on down in that chapter 1, verse 14 of John, it says, and the Word became flesh. So when you hear somebody say, well, I'm following Jesus, but I just can't obey His Word, the Word is Jesus in flesh. flesh. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says in verse 10 and 11, by the grace of God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. Hearing is essential to both true conversion and spiritual development. You got to hear, but it must not stop at just hearing. You got to do something with what you've heard. Hearing and doing go together. They're inseparable. John MacArthur says obedience, and that's what he's talking about here, doing the word of God, obeying. Obedience is the only validation of your salvation. It is the only possible proof that you recognize the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's a danger when we hear the word of God and do nothing with it. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, lest you deceive yourselves. Can I just say, if you've heard the word of God and you've done nothing with it, you are deceiving yourselves. I wrote this statement down. Too many Christians mark their Bibles, but their Bibles never mark them. People, you look, I see. Listen, I've been preaching for almost 11 years. I see people just marking their Bibles up. And then a few of them I know personally. They're marking their Bibles. Bibles never mark them. Not just hearing, but doing. It's the difference between reading a menu and actually eating a meal. It's the difference between holding a prescription and actually taking the medicine. The Lord says the wise man builds his house on a firm foundation, which is the obedience to the word of God. But look, he also says the foolish man builds his life on the sand. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a fool. Who in the world would build a house on sand? I'm from the Sand Hills down in Candor, North Carolina. And anybody ever been there? Y'all ever seen the sand down there? It's a mess. When I go to my mama's, and Tammy will tell you, every time I go to my mama's, I look in the driver's floorboard after I'm coming home, just sand everywhere. You can't even knock it off your feet. It's just everywhere. You ever stand on sand? It shifts a lot underneath your feet. You ever been down to the beach? When you walk into the beach, before the sand gets real hard, I'm talking when you first get on there and it's real hot, and it's just, you're sinking in the sand as you're walking. Who in the world would build a house on sand? Oh, Jesus tells us, a fool. A fool. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. See, that's what's wrong with the world today. You want to know what's wrong with the world? No fear. No fear of the Lord. See, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Why? No fear. But there's something to be afraid of. A great fall. See, he gave both of them and gives us this morning the same option to hear and to obey. There's two mistakes made here, I believe, by these builders, this particular foolish builder. One, he takes the easy way out. He builds on sand. When you study the text and you study where this location of this sermon is near, it's near the Sea of Galilee, finds a natural setting for this parable. And the sand on the seashore there was a hardening surface during the summer, so it would almost bake the sand, so it'd be pretty hard. But a wise builder wouldn't be fooled by these surface conditions. He'd dig down sometimes 10 feet in the ground until he hit something called, there it is, rock. The foolish builder takes the easy way out. Can I just tell you, obeying the Word of God takes work? It's hard sometimes to obey it. Unless y'all got it made, it's hard for me to obey it sometimes. It's the difference, though, between building on solid rock and sinking sand. Both builders heard the words of Christ, had the same opportunity to obey. One of them did, one of them didn't. Second thing, both builders' houses experienced the same storm. Look with me here. It says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation. And then if you look in verse 27 at the end, it says, the same rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. You know, this storm represents the judgment of God, ultimately. But I believe it also represents life. Anybody here experience life when there's storms? There's three elements in this storm: the rain, the floods, and the wind. Anybody in here experienced some storms that's had three, four different elements? Maybe your finances are bad, you don't know, you've lost your job, and then all of a sudden you're sick now, and then all of a sudden your family starts acting messed up. Anybody been there besides me? The same storm that's going to hit the foolish builder also hits the wise builder. See, this right here, just go ahead and throw out prosperity gospel. This story here Jesus tells just knocks prosperity gospel right on out the park. Get it out of here. The same wise builder experiences the same storm as the foolish person. So just because you're a Christian don't mean you're not going to face storms. In fact, a lot of times when you obey the Word of God, that's when storms come. I know personally. Let me tell you, when I started walking with the Lord, the first storm that came was finances. Just started this church. Started coming to church. Thought I was doing something good for God. And then the next thing came was health. Tammy got real sick. Didn't even know what was going on with her. Somebody who was here then might have remembered. Then the next thing that came is, I'm starting to follow the Lord, which tells me that I am starting to build on right rock, not sinking sand. And the folks in my life that was on sinking sand didn't like it, because I was distancing myself from the ways that I used to live. See, when you start following the Lord, be prepared by some of the closest people that are to you that ain't following him to start calling you stuff like, oh, he's one of them holy rollers now. Let me tell you what Charles Spurgeon said. It's better to go to heaven alone than to hell in a herd. Storms will come. Both sides. You know the difference in these houses, though? The foundation. Y'all ever been to a neighborhood where all the houses look alike? Just a cookie cutter model. Every house looks the same. Some of the houses are built on the Lord. Some of them aren't. But you can't tell because you're not inside those houses. See, some Christians, storms come here. Some Christians, fair weather Christians. First sign of raindrop, they, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? You probably on sinking sand. Third thing here, both builders had specific outcomes based upon their choices. Look, rain came down, both houses. Streams rose against both houses. Wind blew against both houses. one did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. The other one fell with a great crash. See, there's good news here. The one who builds on the rock is secure when everything's over. The one that built his house on sinking sand, he's gone. Washed away. You know, I believe that this is an emphasis here on the obedience of God's word. It also is an illustration, I believe, of the indestructibility of God's word. Isaiah 48 says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever." Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." God's word's unshakable, indestructible. So how is it? I told you, there's houses. I want you to picture these two houses for a second. They're neighbors, by the way. Same storm hits them. They're neighbors. They go to the same church. Go to the same Sunday school class. Both sets of kids in the youth group. Storms come. Disaster. Y'all looking? You're in the neighborhood. Two houses, neighbors. You know the families. You wake up the next morning. The winds have died down. Rain's gone. Floods have died down. You look over there and one family's gone. The other's still standing. How is it that people can come to the same service, hear the same message, and go out doing two different things? Faith takes perseverance to God's word. Joel Gregory said, "Faith that fizzles before the finish had a fatal flaw from the first." Faith that fizzles before the finish had a fatal flaw from the first. If your life is not built on the rock, the word of God says you can be guaranteed of one thing. It'll fall with a great crash. See, this rock is not some loud profession. It's not some spectacular spiritual triumph in your life. It's not some great spiritual experience that you had. The rock that Christ is speaking of is obedience to Him. There's a whole lot of folks that had a spiritual experience, walk down an aisle, and they're going to get to the in front of the Lord, and He's going to say, "Depart from you, never knew you." Whole lot of people making professions. Whole lot of people getting ducked. Whole lot of people not obeying. And if you look back and it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, not the wide," it says that wide gate, many enter it. Only a few find the narrow. See, A.W. Pink says, "Saving faith is practical persuasion of the truth of Christ's teaching, which is followed by a wholehearted obedience to His authority." See, the Father's will is not something admired or simply discussed or praised or even debated. The Father's will is done by the authentic follower of Jesus Christ. He's the only foundation we can trust. You know, I heard a pastor tell about a story of a ship that wrecked. There's a little boy they found clinging to a rock. They asked the boy, "You know, were you scared?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Did you think he was going to make it?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I cried and I shivered, but the rock never moved." When you build your house on the rock, rock never moves. You may shake, you may quiver, you may cry, you may weep, rock You want to know what's wrong with America today? I think Pastor Robert summed it up, but I'll give you Terry Smith's paraphrase. And some of you can walk out of here and say, he's a holy art thou. Doesn't make any difference. I've been called worse. The problem in America is the church. You know why? Because everything we're doing, sinking sand. Let's get more activities, sinking sand. We need a great presence. Let's manufacture the presence of God in a worship service to make people experience something, sinking sand. I got a better idea. Let's build a new building. Let's build it and they'll come, sinking sand. The gospel is not being preached in the pulpits of the churches today. Not like it ought to be. Not with the conviction and the compassion and the urgency to know that one day the storms are going to come and the wind's going to blow and the floods are going to rise and there's going to be people that we love that's going to disappear. Sinking sand. Does that bother anybody in here but me? Sinking sand. You know why families are falling apart? Because they're building their lives on everything but the Word of God. Let's build it on the ball field. Let's build it at the whatever the children's. We are so engulfed with our kids. They have become idols. Let's just do whatever they want to do. And then we wonder when we watch them grow up and their lives resemble nothing of the Lord. We say, but we love our kids. No, you don't. Because if you loved them enough, you'd make sure they's in church, in a place that they could hear the gospel. Well, I know that just ran all over a few people. Tough. I ain't running for Congress or politician or nothing, so I didn't make any difference. I only got to answer to one person. And I promise you, what he says matters way more than what any of you say. I got one question. And listen, I want y'all to understand this. Most of you know me and know my heart. There's maybe some of you that don't. Get with somebody who knows me. They'll tell you, Terry's a pretty good guy. Don't let him ruffle your feathers too much. I don't come at you hard because I'm up here like, I just want to beat somebody over the head today. I come at you because I know where I was headed before God pulled me up. I think about that song when I think about the Lord, how he raised me, how he filled me, how he lifted me up and put my feet on solid ground. That's why I get so passionate. Because I know, I've got family members that if the Lord Jesus Christ come back today, they not going with him. And that bothers me. It bothers me to the point that I have to be urgent. Because it's an urgent need. There's going to be a judgment one day. And if you're on sinking sand, you don't have a chance. But if you're on the rock, you got it made. So I got one question. Where's your life? Is it on the rock? Are you in sinking sand, sinking every day? You know the answer. I don't. I want you to stand with me. As we close this service, I'm going to ask you, if you're on sinking sand today, there's always second chances on this side of heaven. He might be giving you a chance today. Some of you know people, loved ones, lives on sinking sand, and you just want to come up here. You're burdened enough for them that you're willing to come up here and pray for them this morning. I'm going to ask you, whatever God's laying on your heart to do, his word says do it. Father, we come to you now, Lord.